morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by BKCW. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. We are 71 days away from kickoff, guys. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Tell us who your favorite number 71 was over the years. And obviously, get your questions in, and we'll get to those here in just a little bit. But a big weekend on deck for the Longhorns. Jerry, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge official visit weekend. Got started last night. C.J. Vogel and I were down at the Bergstrom Airport around 1 a.m. when K.J. Lacy got off his flight for 12:30-ish. Left about 1 a.m. There you go. K.J. Lacy got off his flight from L.A. First one in for the official visit. So we'll big visit weekend coming up for Texas. Obviously, K.J. Lacy won a 7 commitment. But there's a lot of big-time guys coming in, Jamie French, Nick Townsend, which I think the tight end's a huge recruitment out of Spring Dakaney. Obviously, Jamie French is. Kalik Lockett, also at wide receiver. Michael Fasusi, who's going to be hosted by Trevor Goosby this weekend. Michael Fasusi, DFW, Louisville High. Trevor Goosby, Melissa High, DFW, up in that northern DFW area. So Michael Fasusi will be in town with 3 commitments. Also, the first time I believe Texas has ever hosted triplets for official visits. So Isaiah Coleman, Devin Coleman, and Jordan Coleman will all be on official visits to Texas. Isaiah Coleman obviously preferred walk-on to Texas. But I don't think Texas has ever hosted triplets for official visit before, Bobby.
That would be a first in my knowledge, that's for sure. And I've been doing it 30 years now. Jerry, I'm surprised you're up and at 'em after being out at the airport at 1 a.m. and your hair looks all nice and everything else. I mean, you look nice and tan.
I'm not young like CJ. I went to bed at 8:30, slept till 11, went to the airport last night, came back, slept 4 hours, got on the treadmill this morning to help my fatness. So we're rolling. We're ready to roll. Big visit weekend. A lot of guys will be getting into Austin via car service. They leave about 10 a.m., get to Austin around 12:30 or 1. Then you have some of the guys that'll be flying in from out of state. So that's
hey, Jerry.
By the way, the midweek official visitors, there's those 3 guys, Dorian Brew, Dijon Lee, and Nathan Tillman, which we'll talk about in a second there. And then obviously the official visitors list coming up here in a second as well. K.J. Lacy, James Simon committed, French Lockett, the 2 wideouts, Amari Winston committed, Nick Townsend, huge visit, I think, this weekend. Michael Fasusi, then the 3 commitments on the offensive line. Zion Williams, big visit here coming up because he's at LSU lean with a July 4th decision. DJ Sanders, more of a developmental D-line prospect, down the road guy. Madden Framo, big official visit coming in with Elijah Barnes, committed, one of the tops of the country. If you didn't see winning drive yesterday, Elijah Barnes came on there with Rod Babers, CJ Vogel, and Bob Shipley and talked for about 15 minutes. Then to Kate Phillips, Aiden Anding, Devin Williams, the 3 DBs. Obviously, Devin Williams committed to Auburn out of Buford, Georgia. Aiden Anding out of Ruston's bringing a lot of his family. Kate Phillips out of Hightower. That's a big one as well, Bobby.
They're all big. The DBs we've kind of focused on this year, or this week, I guess, is the better way to put that. I'm sorry. But let's talk a little bit in that vein about the 3 midweek visits, Jerry, because you got a little intel on each of them. Let's start with Dorian Brew, who you spoke with briefly yesterday, the young corner out of Conroe.
Yeah, I spoke with him very briefly. He was boarding a flight to Columbus. He was going from Austin to Columbus for his official visit. You know, that recruitment's a little bit all over the place, right? He doesn't talk a lot. People don't talk a lot around him. So it's digging for info. You know, it's been all over the place. Some people like Oregon lead. Then it was like, could LSU make a run, which I'm not sure I see that one. Then it's USC. You know, look, I think Texas kind of believes it's Ohio State and Texas coming down the stretch here. We'll see if that's true. I mean, because Texas did not get them in for a weekend official visit, and they preferred the weekend official visit. But we'll see if he can break away from Ohio State, from Ohio. Obviously, he's living in Texas in Conroe. Mom's in the Ohio State Hall of Fame. She was a great sprinter in track. So we'll see if it's somebody other than Ohio State at the end of the day. But everybody's been mentioned in this recruitment up to this point. But he had a great visit. I asked him, I said he was getting on a plane. He didn't have a lot of time. I said, just, you know, break it down. What was the visit scale of 1 to 10? He said it was a 10. So that's that's the best you can do, and we'll see what happens after this Ohio State visit, because I think that's the key visit this weekend.
Jerry, the other one that had a we think had a better visit than anticipated based on our immediate feedback that we're getting is Dejon Lee, the young cornerback, 6'4", out of Mission Viejo. Now, he immediately left Texas and headed to Alabama for an official visit there, but things may have went better than anticipated with Dejon Lee. Any thoughts there?
Yeah, again, that's one where Texas is coming from way behind. He put out a top four. Texas wasn't on that. I bet Texas did get the midweek official visit. Alabama and Georgia have been considered the more of the favorites of the SEC schools. He visited A&M as well, but Texas got him on campus. And the key there is for Texas, are they actually going to be there at the end of the day? He goes right from Texas to Alabama. But we heard he had a really good, great visit. And look, Sarkisian, I mean, I don't know, Bobby, we haven't heard about a bad visit realistically from Sarkisian and this staff. So they're all going to be really good visits. Sarks and Texas know what they're doing. Chris Del Conte, Hartzell, they all know what they're doing on this. They have a great, great presentation. Then Nathan Tillman, the safety out of Mansfield Timberview. Again, really, really strong visit. He goes from Texas to TCU, the SMU commitment. He's already visited Baylor as well. And so we'll see after this weekend. But I think Texas has a better than puncher's chance there.
Yeah, I'm hearing that they are they're doing really well with Nathan Tillman at this point, yeah. Guys, the young man out of Mansfield Timberview. Hey, Jerry, I also think we've got a lot of recruiting news and notes to go over. Obviously, it's a huge weekend, biggest weekend of the year for the University of Texas, by the way. Around 18 guys scheduled. We have confirmed 17 of them, we believe. The only one we haven't confirmed potentially was Kiadi Armstrong, who we think is probably not coming, but we don't know for sure. Then we also have 7 commitments that have already committed to Texas that will be in town as well. A lot of recruiting news to go over. I want to ask you, Jerry, a little bit about guys that you think are on the precipice maybe of making decisions one way or the other, plus the guys that already have dates set up. I mean, there's guys that already – Dejon Lee is June 28th. Marco Jones is July 2nd. Smith Orogbo, July 1st. Zion Williams, July 4th. There's just a bunch of guys coming up that are getting ready to make decisions that I think will be interesting for people. But I want to start with another one that visited Texas last weekend, and that's Jonathan Cunningham. Linebacker out of North Crowley. Jerry, you talked to his coach, Ray Gates. I think it's Ray Gates, right? Yesterday about Jonathan and what he's doing. And then you talked to Jonathan as well. Where's his recruitment at right now, the linebacker out of North Crowley?
Cunningham is scheduled. He's on Texas four-star linebacker. We're big fans of his instincts and length and that upside frame. Scheduled to be at Kansas this weekend. He was kind of deciding between Kansas and Missouri. So I spoke with Coach Gates, spoke with Jonathan yesterday. Jonathan says his visit to Kansas remains on. I think Texas and Utah are the top two in this recruitment right now. And I know he had a great visit, but talking to both Jonathan and talking to Coach Gates yesterday, he had a great visit to Texas. So I think Texas is in a pretty good spot there. You know, what's interesting is there's some confidence in linebacker recruiting for Texas. They only brought in 4 for official visits. I mean, assuming somebody didn't get off a plane today, right? It's a surprise. Now they may stay on somebody committed elsewhere during the season, see what happens, depending on what happens here with Riley Pettishon, with Jonathan Cunningham and Madden Faremo, Brandon Huey's favorite there in the chat. That's a lot of confidence in linebacker recruiting when you only bring in 4 for 3 spots, Bobby.
Absolutely. And Johnny Nansen's becoming a buzzword around Texas football right now because of his immediate impact in recruiting, not just at his spot either, though, Jerry, not just at linebacker, but his influence in the state of California is very real. Dejon Lee would not be visiting Texas without Johnny Nansen, and that's a cornerback. So, I mean, it's pretty clear he's going to be one of those guys. Jerry, what about a couple of guys coming in this weekend? Maybe somebody like Aiden Anding. Let's go a little deeper on him as well, because I feel like that's a guy that's not talked about enough that I know you and I both are really, really high on.
Hey, Blake, do you have a second to pull up Aiden Anning's huddle while we talk about him a little bit? Aiden Anning, I think, is one of the – look, he's a spring riser, and it's hard to be a riser nowadays with huddle and YouTube and everything that comes with recruiting. But he's a riser because he was a basketball player that dabbled in long jump that returned to the football field as a junior. And he just so happened to be an all-state selection as a junior on a state championship team there at Ruston, a really good basketball player. He's a college-level basketball player, whether that's D2, low major, and D1. I mean, really good basketball player, all-state basketball selection as well, can really shoot the ball. Made well over 100 threes as a junior and then went to state in the long jump. But on the football field, he had a tremendous year returning back to football, 5'11", about 175 pounds now. But he had 34 tackles. Four interceptions, 10 pass breakups, punt return for a touchdown, which you see here in the state championship game, in the state championship win. A guy that he's just a playmaker, Bobby. A guy makes plays, whether it's on a basketball court, football court, the guy's a playmaker, man. I mean, that's the one thing about him is wherever he's at, whatever court he's on, he makes plays. And that's really what you can – that's maybe all you can ask for coming out of high school for a prospect like this.
The guy I love DBs that make the interception and then don't go down immediately too.
Yeah.
And start treating it a little bit like a punt return. You know what I mean, Jerry?
Yeah.
I thought that the interesting thing, you and I were talking about him a lot yesterday afternoon, and one of the things that we also really liked is – I mean, the fact that the guy just came back to football, right? He just came back to football, but already he's concentrating solely on football. He's not doing the AAU hoop scene this summer, even though, to your point, he would have been a low level FBS level point guard as well. But he's now focusing solely on football, is my understanding.
Yeah, he is. He's focused solely on football. One of the great things about a conversation I had with Aiden Anning recently was I said, hey, what AAU basketball team are you playing on this summer? I figured he was just playing because he's been really good in hoops for so long. He said, nah, not playing. I'm concentrating on football. He said, I'm getting in some strength and conditioning work, footwork this summer. And I said, okay, that's a kid who, look, he's given up his basketball dream a little bit to focus on football where his future's at. And that's a really good sign for his future to me that he's not continuing to play AAU basketball. And he's focused on being the best defensive back he can be. And look, I think this is going to come down to Texas in Miami. Somebody has Zane Pettick and LSU swipe in and take Aiden a 23rd hour. Well, I don't have that answer at this point. I think that might be a little tough for them. He's a Northern Louisiana kid too, but I think this is going to come down to Texas and Miami. He also visited TCU and he visited Arkansas. And I think Texas is in a pretty good spot headed into the visit.
Here's the bottom line. All-state in football in his only year playing.
Yeah, all-state in basketball.
All-state in basketball. So he helped his team to the state championship in football, all-state in basketball, and qualifies for the state meet and track with a long jump of 22.5.
So throw your national rankings out the window on a guy like that. That's what I tell you.
I'm just saying, you know, when you're all-state in Louisiana in three sports, essentially, you're probably pretty athletic. We got some stuff going on. Jerry has a list from Athlons that we want to go over in a second. The top 10 games of this season in the Longhorns appear more than just about anybody on it. But first, we want to say thank you to our friends at BKCW. Today's show being brought to you by BKCW Insurance. Did your business have a frustrating insurance or employee benefits renewal? Most likely you didn't hear from your agent all year. And then right before it was time to renew, your agent delivered the bad news of a rate increase with no time to look for other options. When this happens, the agent is providing no value and you're stuck in what we call the insurance trap. BKCW takes you out of the insurance trap by providing you with actual risk management consulting, not just price quoting. Operating out of its headquarters in Austin, Texas, and owned by UT grad, BKCW uses a five-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation throughout the year so that you can lower your insurance costs and effectively manage your company's risk and employee benefits. BKCW has risk consultants that specialize in many different industries, from construction and transportation companies to nonprofits, school districts, even, I guessed it, on Texas football as well. So you'll get matched up with someone who knows your risks and can help you escape the insurance trap. Get started with a free risk assessment at bkcw.com or send an email to info@bkcw.com to get started and get the support you deserve.
Okay, guys. Well, as Bobby said, Jerry, you got a list there from Athlon about some of the most exciting games this season.
And yeah, yeah. And by the way, I see all the questions on 2026 running back recruiting after the Racine Guillory's first decommitment. I doubt it's his last in this recruitment. But we'll get to that, some of those questions in a second. But yeah, Athlon's, I finally started getting into my magazines here on the road a little bit. Athlon's had the top 10 games of the college season, so bear with me while I attempt my this attempt at reading. Michigan at Ohio State's number one, Georgia at Alabama number two, Georgia at Texas three, Texas at Michigan four, Ohio State at Oregon five, Clemson at FSU six, Oregon at Michigan seven, Texas, Oklahoma eight, Georgia at Ole Miss nine, Ohio State at Penn State 10. Somebody must not know A&M has a football schedule. Oh, joking. But Texas has three of the top 10 games, according to Athlon's in college football this year, which, you know, it's hard to argue with the list with Texas being on there three times. And we'll see what happens throughout the season. But the next 10 were Texas at Texas A&M, did make the next 10. So of the top 20 games for Athlons, Texas had four of them in college football, but three of the top 10.
That's a third of your schedule if four of them are in the top 20. You got 12 regular season games. Georgia at Texas at three. Georgia at Texas at three. Texas at Michigan at four, and then Texas OU in the Cotton Bowl at eight. That's good stuff. I mean, look, I don't know. What did it have for the most anticipated game, Georgia-Alabama?
Michigan at Ohio State.
Michigan. I can actually believe that. Michigan defending national champs, Ohio State, one of the two favorites to win it this year. I'm good with that that pick this year. I really am. The Big Ten has not always been on the mountaintop of late, but they did win it last year. And Ohio State looks really, really good in the preseason this year.
And by the way, Athlon's had Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, Oregon 3, Texas 4. And you've seen those kind of Texas and Oregon flip-flop a lot. Ole Miss 5 and Alabama 6, Michigan 7. I think that's too high. Penn State 8 and Notre Dame 9. That was 9 of their top 10, and then their 10 was Missouri. So I thought that was interesting, that their top 10. We just start looking around. We start looking around at this because we're getting to that point of the season, guys. We're starting to look at that. The one thing we're going to talk about the Texas schedule a lot, but I think Kentucky looking more at their 2 deep, what they did in the portal, what they added, what they have coming back. I think Kentucky, if their quarterback situation, I don't think their quarterback situation is as settled as the last 2 years. If they come through a little bit at quarterback, they're going to be a pretty good team.
Jerry, I want to go
outside their ranking.
We're going to get Phil Steele, who publishes that compendium. We'll get him back on the show. We had him last year. I've texted with him. He's going to come on sometime in the next couple of weeks as well, so we can talk big picture stuff with everyone for that. Jerry, let's go back to Racine Guillory. You mentioned it out of the gate. Some fans were asking about it on the chat. To your point, Jerry, Longhorns took its commitment back in January when they had the big junior day retreat kind of in Austin. And, you know, some people thought, well, what does this mean for the other running backs around the state that Texas may want? For Darian Ball, Osborne out of Forney, a couple other guys that may have been more highly rated by some. Well, that puts it all back on the table now is what it does. And who are give folks four or five of the running backs that Texas now will be after in the state of Texas or around the country?
And I think, you know, Racine Guillory first, he's coming off the knee injury at Toledo. So he has to return to form next season. Look, I think Javion Osborne at Forney is tremendous. I think Tre'Darrion Ball at Texas High is really good. Then you have Deshaun Rideau. out of Westlake Village and Oaks Christian. I should say Westlake Village, California, Oaks Christian. I think those three guys, it's a pretty good group in the state of Texas. KJ Edwards from Carthage has been on campus a couple of times. There's a couple offers outside the state lines as well, along with Rideau. But I think look at Javion Osborne, look at Tre'Darrion Ball to start, and then work from there.
Got it. And what was the guy's name at Oaks Christian?
Deshaun Rideau.
Okay, guys.
By the way, I wanted to answer this one. What I was saying, Zane Petty said Kentucky has 5-star QB transfer from Georgia Vandergriff. He must have not tore it up this spring, though. They must not be completely sold because they also took Gavin Wimsett out of the portal in the spring after spring practice from Rutgers. So I don't think you take a second portal quarterback if you think for sure you have your guy, which will be interesting to watch with Kentucky this year.
Well, they're going to let them. If anything, they're going to let the best man win.
Yeah.
You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That just creates a better outcome for your team, hopefully. Y'all talked about that Kentucky game being the trap game of the year, Jerry. And I can see that. I think other Texas fans can see it. They play a very SEC brand of ball. Run heavy, play action, big over the top. They play stingy defense. And you know what? They have a receiver, Brandon Brown, who's as good as any in the country, and returner, who's as good as any in the country. So they'll have some talent headed when they come into Austin. I still have to think Texas is going to be a prohibitive favorite, but they do have the horses.
Well, let's talk about that Kentucky. So that Barron Brown is a kick returner and a receiver. He's a top 2-round pick. They have Dane Key coming back, but they got Jamori Macklin out of North Texas in the portal. So they have three receivers. Barron Brown actually has help this year, which I think was their concern at Kentucky. Who's the number two? They got four offensive linemen returning plus a transfer who's been a starter. So they essentially have five power four offensive linemen back. Now, they have to replace quarterback, which is big. The running back, Tranium, coming in from Ohio State, I think is very good. He's a great fit at Kentucky. He just got caught in the wash at Ohio State, but he still had some good moments there. But they return all four starters on their defensive front, and one of their starters got beat out or could get beat out in the spring. So they are five deep on the D-line with quality players. Two starting linebackers back. Then they got Dumas Johnson from Georgia, who was a starter. So they essentially have three SEC starting linebackers back. Three defensive backs back as well. So you're talking about a team that's returning essentially 10 defensive starters off an SEC team, four offensive linemen. If either Vandergriff or Gavin Wimsett comes through, they're going to be a really good team and probably outplay their ranking. They just have too much back. What happened with Mark Stoops getting on a plane going to A&M? How does the team treat that? You know, when it looked like Stoops was leaving for A&M, does that become an issue for them? I don't know. But Deion Walker is one of the best D linemen in the country and one of the top three or four Texas will face on the interior. He could be a first, second round pick. So Kentucky's going to have a solid team. The other one I looked at, Bobby, when I had some time to study this, is Florida. I've heard they didn't, the offensive linemen they got out of the portal maybe didn't come through like they thought. So they have three starters back on the offensive line. Kanaje Harris, a young kid they like, and a portal transfer. But Montrell Johnson, really good running back coming back. I mean, that pushed Travis Etienne out the door to Georgia because Etienne was the number two guy. But the key for Florida is going to be, as we get more into this, they have three young defensive linemen that are very talented. That's Kelby Collins, who's out of Alabama. That's TJ Searcy, and that's the freshman 5-star kid, LJ McCray, out of Daytona Beach, Mainland, home of Vince Carter, by the way. If those three young D linemen come through for them, especially the two sophomores, then they're going to be Justice Boone, obviously transferred in, or is back as well. They're going to look pretty and be athletic up front. But Florida's going to be interesting as well. I think their offensive line may hold the key for them this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they're not coming apart at the seams.
Right, exactly.
Your comment about Mark Stoops and almost taking the A&M job, Billy Napier may be on the hot seat at that point or out of a job. at that point if things don't go better than planned for him early in the season. So I think there's – look, there is going to be no lack of talent that Texas plays every week in the SEC.
Yeah,
there will be no lack of talent. You won't find a team that doesn't have a draft pick here or there, with the possible exception of Vandy. Yeah. This doesn't exist in the SEC like that. And so each and every week will be an interesting one. By the way, Jerry, a week away almost now from the big celebration in Austin, June 30th, Pitbull's coming to town. Yeah. I don't know if people are going to go to Pitbull, but hey, some people will. I think
they'll be there.
Oh, I know. Some people will. Not my cup of tea, but my daughter would certainly be there, my son, et cetera. But long story short, June 30th, Chris Del Conte, the athletic director at the University of Texas, has created a party-like atmosphere on the, I think it's on the West Lawn of the university, with representatives from every school in the SEC, going to have a little blowout party. Jerry and I think Jerry's going to be there. I'm definitely going to be there. We'll talk more about that in the coming weeks and months as well. All right, Blake, I think it's your time, my man. It is time to read our ad for Factor, which I'm actually having for lunch today, if you don't mind.
That's right. And, man, what can I say about Factor, guys? Warmer, sunnier days are calling. You need to fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you're always going to have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you're always going to have new flavors to explore. You can absolutely crush your wellness goals this summer with dietitian approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. So treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients. From breakfast to dessert, stay fueled with those nutritious options. And here's the best part, guys. I said it a second ago, but they're ready in 2 minutes. That means no shopping, no prepping, no cooking, no cleaning up. Make your day delicious with help from the great folks at Factor. And all you have to do is head over to factormeals.com/Texas50. Use promo code Texas50. They're going to give you 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. Again, that's promo code Texas50 at factormeals.com/Texas50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. And what can I say? They taste great. They're easy. They're quick. Can't go wrong with Factor.
You really can't. The 2 minutes is legit, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of those say, heat it up for 2 minutes and then you put it back in. It's kind of cold in the middle. 45 seconds later, you still don't have anything. Yeah. Factor's legit program.
For sure. Hey, Blake, I want to bring this up. I want to Jose Rodriguez. Is that like all sports all time? Because that's unbelievable if that's true.
What was the stat there, Jerry? Can you read it out?
Jose Rodriguez says Jerry's scoreboard is 51,596 to 7,540, kind of lopsided, like the UT versus A&M rivalry. So I don't know what he meant by that, but I was kind of if that's the all time, that's pretty good. I don't think that's what it was though. And by the way, somebody on the chat said Mississippi State's going to be terrible this year. When I was looking through this, returning starters for Mississippi State last year, you know what the answer is? Zero on offense, two on defense.
Wow.
Talk about your total rebuilds. Two starters, and that's counting kicker punter. Two. Zero on offense, two on defense.
Well, Jeff Levy's got Blake Chapin to start, right? The former Baylor quarterback transferred there. Jeff Levy, the former OU offensive coordinator, now the head man in Starkville. Look, there may be a couple games where Texas doesn't have to have – I don't want to say their A game, but, you know, Texas didn't play its A game in every game last year. They have to bring it every week in the SEC. You can't just play a bad game and expect to win. I mean – That's just not going to happen. And so teams like Florida or teams like Kentucky in particular, like you mentioned, Jerry, earlier, they have talent at a level that can shock you a little bit. I'm just going to they've got players that are going to be NFL guys, too.
And they always have big jumbo athletes, Bobby, is what they have. They come out of the state of Mississippi that may not be as highly recruited, may come out of JUCO ranks. But Mississippi State has more – if you look, they have more guys in the NFL right now than you think they do, including an unpopular Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Is he unpopular these days? I can't even keep up.
It's like a 50-50. It's like a love-hate relationship a little bit. I mean, I think everybody thinks he's good, but can he get him over the top in Dak Prescott?
Yeah, he's good. He's just not clutch, I think, is the problem. All right, guys. Well, a minute ago, we were talking about these magazines coming out preseason. Bobby, you mentioned Phil Steele. And Phil Steele actually came out with his top 40. I'm going to read that. I'm not going to go through all 40, but Georgia, number one. Ohio State, number two. Oregon, number three. Texas, four. Penn State, five. Notre Dame, Alabama, Utah, Michigan, and Miami close out the top 10. Then some other ones of note here. Oklahoma, 20. UTSA, 21. Texas A&M, 28. And Kentucky, who we were just talking about, 39. And one that sticks out to me, guys, Texas State, number 36.
Woo! Nipping on the heels of A&M?
Yeah.
Texas State?
37. But he had UTSA 21.
Yep.
GJ Kenny and Jeff Traylor. GJ, well, just, you know.
What do we call it? They begin the season playing each other. We're going to call that the Baylor Bowl is for the next head coach at Baylor.
Very true. Very true. GJ's dad played at Baylor, for those people unfamiliar. Jeff Traylor's been linked to that job. And Dave Aranda. You know, he's I think he's got to win this year, guys.
Casey brings up an interesting one. I think Kenny ends up at Baylor and Traylor ends up at Arkansas. I do know that the AD at Arkansas really, really likes Jeff Traylor from his time there. So not out of the question, but the question is, which job would you rather have?
Well, I mean, here's the other thing is UTSA.
I'd rather have Baylor.
Well, UTSA is now at number 21 in the country. That adds another ranked opponent potentially to the Longhorns schedule. Not a lot of people talking about, nobody is really talking about UTSA right now on the Texas schedule.
Yeah.
At all. I mean, it's one of the games that's just gone unnoticed. Everybody's talking about Michigan in the preseason. Little talk about Colorado State because it's the first game of the year, but UTSA, interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
So somebody, I don't know if I buy that necessarily.
What was that?
Antigon EQ said Petrino lined up to be the next head coach at Arkansas. I'm not sure if I buy that. He's definitely the next head coach at Arkansas.
All right. We have some super chats that we need to knock out, fellas. The first one here from Longhorn Frenzy 1. Thank you, Longhorn Frenzy. He says an A&M website reported this morning that A&M won't be the pick for Pettijohn, but also said Texas wouldn't be the pick either. Jerry Hamilton, what say you?
See how that visit goes with A&M this weekend. I think that's an interesting thing to say before an official visit happens, right? A&M is going to throw all the kitchen sinks at Pettijohn. Look, I think Pettijohn and Texas continue to be in a pretty good spot. We'll see what happens after he shuts this down and makes the decision.
If it's not either of those two, we've been told that Ohio State would be a team to look for. So just to be clear, Ohio State might be a team to look for there.
And our other super chat, guys, comes from Jay Lee. Thank you, as always, Jay Lee. He says, we've waited almost 15 years for Texas to be back. Now that it appears we are, has it happened the way that you eventually thought it would? And then he adds, basically, when you pictured Texas making it back to the top nationally, did you foresee it going the way it has or differently?
You know, so for me, We live in such an offensive day and age of sports, right? Rules are geared for offense. I think it has, because when you struggle from an offensive standpoint in terms of maybe offensive evaluation, speed, Bobby, on offense, NFL draft picks on offense, an offensive hire, you know, outside, okay, Urban Meyer, right? After the Urban Meyer thing. offensive coach, offensive-minded coach, bringing in quarterbacks, evaluating offense, creating NFL draft picks, creating a fun product. We talked about this early on with Sarkis. He was, to me, he was brought into Texas, yes, to win, but also to have a enticing, fun product on the field to bring the fan, to keep the fan base excited, get the fan base excited, and somebody that understood how to build a coaching staff as Texas heads to the SEC that'd be SEC ready. But I think it's the brand of football that he's brought to Texas. It's fun, again, to be a Texas fan. Even when Tom Herman beat Georgia the year they won 10 games, quarterback power three times inside the 10s, not exactly fun to watch.
I will say this, the question whether or not it's been different or how they got back, it hasn't been as sudden as, say, Mack Brown.
Right.
I mean, it turned on a dime with Mack Brown, right? It did not with Steve Sarkisian. It took a while. Then he got he showed some signs his first year, even though they were 5-7. To Jerry's point, the offense at times looked unstoppable, especially in the first halves of games, right? If there's been a difference that I see than what I would be expected to bringing Texas back, it's been the completeness of it. You know, Sark is winning at a lot of different things simultaneously, whether it's the portal, whether it's recruiting, whether it's QB development, player development, draft picks. He's winning at a lot of different things, and that builds on itself. And so the difference, Edward, for me, would be the completeness of it. Like, usually it takes one or two players and you get out of the gate. It takes a Ricky Williams, you know, seminal player to get you back on schedule. Well, Texas kind of had that, kind of, and Bijan Robinson, right? But they didn't lean on Bijan that way. It was more of a complete team effort that got them back to the college football playoff. So that's a good question. This one feels like it's on firmer footing, I guess is the best way to put it, and more complete at an earlier time frame. Mack's best teams really started in 2001, his fourth, fifth, sixth year. Texas has already been to the national championship playoff in Sark's third year. So there's a difference. And I think it's more complete, Jerry.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look back at when Mack was hired too. One of the things that Rod Babers always says about his recruitment that's so true is R.C. Slocum. Rod has always says R.C. Slocum was the one that said, you need to stay in state, you need to stay in state, right? So it's interesting the timing of when you take these jobs, when you come into these jobs. A&M was really good at the time when Mack came to Texas, but Mack was as good a recruiter as you'll ever see, right? And then Ricky, his best recruiting job ever was Ricky Williams staying, right? Because then he won the Heisman. But that was at a time when kids were more dialed in to staying in state as well. I mean, Jerome Sapp got away, but the kids, by and large, were more dialed in to staying in state. So it doesn't mean every kid did. You're never going to keep every kid in state. But then also, so that was big. Kind of, it was weird that, you know, kind of helped some things that helped Mack early on was R.C. Slocum, the success he had pushing these kids to stay in state, and A&M was really good. What's interesting about when Sark took the job was that A&M was in a window. They had a window because of Texas struggles, Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma. There was a window for A&M to really make a big step forward. They're in the SEC. Johnny Manziel won the Heisman. They had some – they under Jimbo for a while, they became kind of the cool school with you, when you go around and talk to kids as far as versus Texas at the time. They had a window there. They did not take advantage of it. So then Sark comes in and blows the door off in year three, and Oklahoma shows some signs of life in year two under Venables. So A&M missed the kind of – not to say they can't be good under Elko, but they had a window there to take advantage of when Texas was going through all of these peaks and valleys, mostly valleys, and they didn't truly take advantage of it. And it's always interesting when you go back and look at these things, the timing of when things happen, how they happen.
Good stuff. Good conversation for sure. Our next question, fellas, comes from Joe Z. He says, hook 'em from Rapid City, South Dakota. Bobby, got any new team news?
We talked a little bit about this earlier this week. I mean, and Jerry and I, we mentioned it on State of the Program. The receiver room is starting to come into focus a little bit. And I feel like we've talked about Silas Bolden and his experience. And he is, I mean, to quote somebody, he is tiny. When you see him out there, you're going to be thinking, this guy is a senior, and he's going to be 5'8", 170, 165. Okay, but he's a little lightning bug is what he is. The other thing that we heard is that Matthew Golden is having a good offseason. Yeah. And also providing some, what's the best way to put it? Some leadership. That's not necessarily what Isaiah Bond is. That's not necessarily yet what Jonte Cook should be called on for as a true sophomore. DeAndre Moore, the other guys in the room, all possibilities. That's part of it. The other thing that we've heard is that the edges right now continue to be maybe the strength of the defense.
Yeah.
I think that's been fair. We've talked about the second team offensive line being probably the best Texas has had in a decade plus. There are a number of different little small team notes. On the defensive side in particular, we're waiting to see really where Javion Cole mets out with Gavin Holmes. We talked about earlier this week that they were still undergoing team install as of this, I think, Sunday or Monday. So we don't know yet where Cole is going to be, other than he looks the part, is what we were told. We'll see where it goes from there. So still a little bit light on team news, essentially. Sadir Mitchell's weight has been up and down. We've chronicled that a little bit. As well. Jerry, you have anything you want to add in that?
Some of my time on the road yesterday. Quinn's up to about 210 pounds right now. 208 to 210, depending on if you weigh him in the morning or after breakfast, right? Goals kind of be a 215 by the start of the season. So up to 210 pounds, the goal's been 215. If you remember, he kind of stripped down some weight, has built that weight back up through strength, added the necessary muscle he needs to the neck, the shoulders, the back, kind of building up, as Rod says, his armor a little bit, up to 210 pounds. And I was told that the speed on the offense is real. I mean, that's the one thing that I continue to be told is that speed is real. We talked about it on here, but I'm going to keep emphasizing it. And we're not saying anybody's going to be as good as Worthy or Mitchell. Is there going to be two guys, the combination of that? But as a whole, the speed on offense, it's a faster group than it was last year. And I think that's showing up, whether it's your catapult times, whether that's whatever you want to do, however you want to talk about it, routes on air that these guys, boy, when they work out, the speed of this offense as a whole is even faster than it was last year. And I think that's notable because one of the things that Quinn talked about with that in that RG3 podcast is, you know, checking down, being okay with checkdowns, right, Bobby? When you have speed and you can press a defense vertically from different spots, Sark is going to be very happy with the clear outs and the checkdowns to get some one-on-one situations, whether that's with Nye Black short, whether that's with Jaden Blue and Baxter short, whether that's Silas Bolden short. All that speed, for stressing and pressing a field vertically from different positions, is going to help open up all your underneaths and your hops.
Okay, well, before we move on, Gary, it's your time.
Well, look, I can tell you this. I'm on the road, and the handyman is on the road, baby. It's Smooth Sack Summer, ladies plus gentlemen. It's my pleasure to announce that Smooth Sack Summer is officially upon us. When you're playing in the summer sun, make sure you're groomed from those pubes to bun. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped, you can make this season your smoothest yet. The Performance Package 5.0 Ultra is the ultimate bundle to keep your boys downstairs cool while looking hot. Join the 10 million men plus worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer to get 20% off plus free shipping when you go to manscaped.com and use code ONTEXAS, all caps, summertime, and the trimming is easy. Every man knows how scary it can get when going for a close shave below the belt. That's why I trust Manscaped for all my sensitive areas for many years. And you cannot forget about this, guys. Now that you have the perfect haircut, use Manscaped's liquid formulations to keep that freshness even at the hottest summer barbecues. This is very important. The Crop Soother, Aftershave Lotion and Crop Preserver, Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant. Once they touch your sack, you'll never go back, Bobby Burton.
I love it. I love it. Never gets old.
I've thought of a lot of things at a barbecue that I have never thought of. I'll just put it that way. Never came into my mind.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. We're going to move on to some more questions here because we do have plenty of them, and there's still plenty of time to get your questions in, so please do so. And let's take this one from Sterling. Sterling says, who are y'all starting 3 to 4 receivers as of now if you had to make a prediction?
Wow, I think I start with Isaiah Bond and Jonte Cook, those two. And then if it's a 3-wide receiver set, Jerry, who do you go with?
DeAndre Moore's got a spot to win, right?
I just don't see it being him.
But so it's up to him. And then I think Matthew Golden, healthy enough, is very, very good, has that leadership quality. And then you look, if you go John Haney with one of the, yes, that's kind of hilarious. That's a good show name. All right. And then you have Silas Bolden. How does he factor in? And then I think early in the season is going to be different than the second half of the season. I think Ryan Wingo may push through the door late in the season, guys.
Yeah. Of all the positions, how Sark manages that room is going to be very intriguing to me this year. Like I understand what they're going to do at defensive end, even though they have several of them. I've got a good sense of what they're going to do. How they're going to play these wide receivers, I have no clue. I mean, I shouldn't say I have no clue. I just don't have a great sense of what they're going to do and how often they're going to use some of these guys. Like is DeAndre Moore going to get 200 snaps this year, or is he going to get 50 to 100? I don't know. What does Silas Bolden do to this group immediately? How does he change the room? There's just a lot of pieces that I think that it makes for good questions from fans, but I don't necessarily think that you and I, Jerry, or anybody else has the answer other than maybe Steve Sarkisian, and even Sark's going to have to wait to see what they do on the field. You know,
I think he's in a great spot because I think this is the most legitimate competition he's had at wide receiver since.
Yes.
And so the cream is going to rise to the top after the first 4 or 5 games of the season. I think I'm looking at the Oklahoma game really to have a rotation and kind of who are the guys, the tier one guys, and then the tier two guys. And tier two in this receiver room is really talented players. I think that's going to kind of play its way out first 4 or 5 games of the season headed into Oklahoma. And here's the thing. Somebody brought up Aaron Butler. I think the thing with Aaron Butler, he's just got to be patient. I mean, look how this system was difficult for Jonte Cook and DeAndre Moore to pick up. It's a difficult system for a true freshman. The key with all these guys, especially guys as talented as Aaron Butler, just have patience for a year. Just buy into your process. And I'm not saying Butler can't outperform what we're thinking right now. That's what competition is, right? But just have some patience and put that development piece number one if you're a young wide receiver on this team this year. I really think that's going to be important for those guys because, look, with Isaiah Bond and Golden and Bolden, that's a lot of experience at this level. And then you have Jonte Cook, who has a year in the system, DeAndre Moore a year in the system. I think those guys are going to have their patience. They have to exercise patience a little bit this year, some of them. I think Ryan Wingo may bust through the door a little bit because he's different than anybody else as far as the size, the catch radius, maybe red zone target, all those things. So I just think patience is the key. But, Bobby, this Sark has the best competition and talent at wide receiver he's had since he's been here.
Yes, he does. And I think that's one of the reasons why I have problems really telling you guys what I think is going to happen, because I don't have, unfortunately, I just don't have this clear picture. I see a bunch of talented players. And the other thing that Jerry made mention of is that they're also at different stages of their career. I mean, you've got Silas Bolden who's going out. You've got Isaiah Bond who's just now becoming a premier receiver after having a kind of a breakout year last year. You have Jonte Cook who's going to be a first-year starter. You have Matthew Golden who was a two-year starter but, you know, was never the number one guy at U of H. You got a phenom, a young phenom, and Ryan Wingo. They're all at different stages of their career. And so how do they fit? How does that play into it? Those are good questions, Jerry.
Dennis Donaldson says, look, he brings up Ryan Niblett. Look, patience. I mean, Ryan Niblett had a really good catch in the spring game. Ryan Niblett's a fast, fast athlete that has some muscle size to him now, about 185, 190, right? Your patience is exercised. I mean, those – well, I think Sark's in a great spot with the depth at receiver he's built now is you see who's really bought in the process. If guys start midway through the season, start saying, you know, I might be out the door. If Sark catches wind of that, he'll know the young guys that are bought into the process versus the young guys who are going to bounce. And I think that puts you in a really good spot.
Hey, guys, Mike G wants to know, how much will Quinn and his working relationship with each wide receiver play a role in playing time?
That certainly could have a big place in it. I mean, frankly. And the reason why is because the quarterback needs to be able to know who he can depend on in tight spots. I mean, I think that's, Mike, you're 100% right. Now, there may be a guy that supersedes all of that because of his speed or ability or athleticism, but I can tell you that's going to – I mean, if Quinn connects, for example, with Silas Bolden and or Matthew Golden, that's not necessarily good news for some other wide receivers in that room. Because if he develops that relationship, what does it say about the other relationships? That's something these receivers need to be cognizant of and wary of from the outset. And fans. I mean, everybody needs – I'm interested in who does Quinn really connect with. Like, I felt like he connected with Xavier and with A.D. Mitchell a lot last year. I didn't think he used Jordan Whittington ever enough, right? Now – could that have been play calling? Could that have been whatever, not checking down as much, et cetera? Maybe. But I felt like he gained that, and he also had it with the JT Sanders a little bit. So does he have the same kind of feel for Amari Nyblak and or Gunnar Helm too? I mean, it's these are good questions that we just don't have the answer to until we start seeing them perform. One thing I will add and confirm what Jerry was thinking on it is I do think that you'll see a different – mindset towards the receivers later in the season, right? We'll see who the guys, I don't want to call them the A team because these guys are all highly recruited, but who the A team is and who the B team is. But you may take three or four games before we get there. It may take OU. We'll see.
And we'll stay on wide receiver conversation for just a few more minutes here. Glenn Keller says, for a five-star type guy, is it a surprise to y'all that Jonte Cook isn't being talked about more? UT boy, close your ears. As opposed to Xavier Worthy coming in early as a freshman and almost reaching 1,000 yards. Obviously, it's different circumstances, but still.
Yeah, well, it's much different circumstances. Like, Xavier Worthy was in a position like Kelvin Banks was at left tackle. You're coming in, dude. You're starting. You're going to learn on the job, essentially. So if Xavier Worthy is talented as he is, if he came in this year in Texas football, he wouldn't be a 1,000-yard receiver. As talented as he is, no chance that would have happened this year. That was a situation like Kelvin Banks where, dude, you're coming in here. You're the guy. You're going to learn on the fly. Here you go. You physically may not be exactly ready for this, but here you go. Here's your time. Go get it done. So it's such a much different time. It's hard to even compare to that. That's why I think the mindset of these kids is so important. And look, what the key to all of it, the key to making this all work long term, is content as another 10-plus win season and an 11, 10-plus guys getting drafted. If you start stacking those years, then it gets much more easier as a staff to say, hey, man, trust the process. Why did Nick Saban get so many guys to wait a couple of years to play that were high four-star, low five-star, five-star recruits? And there were a lot of them, if you go back and look. They didn't all come in and start as freshmen because the process was there. Develop, get drafted. What do kids care about most? Getting drafted, living out their dreams in the NFL. If Sark can put that consistency there in that development and you're going to the NFL, it gets much easier and smoother for a staff to get kids to be patient. That's the whole key for me.
And then we have a super chat from Jay Lee. Thank you once again, Jay Lee. He says, would Butler be better off at corner? I liked him on defense. Y'all's thoughts?
I think some teams did too. I think that's why he probably decommitted from USC, right? USC wanted him as a corner. And so you're not off base there, Jay. But at this point, he's all wide receiver. That's where they're playing him. He showed a little bit in the spring. They liked some flashes they got from him. But we'll have to see if, again, those flashes are enough to keep him at a wide receiver and be a productive wide receiver at Texas. I will say this. They are recruiting as good or better than him right now. So it's not going to be an easy path to the field for any wide receiver, really, at Texas, in my opinion.
Butler's got one other thing going for him. He's also, I think, going to be really good in the punt return game. Now, I think that's Silas Bolden's gig this year, and I think he'll be exceptional at it. But I think Aaron Butler's got that going for him. He's got that stop-start ability. Well, it's interesting. I'll make a good joke or bad joke depending on how you take it. But if I was a cornerback recruit at USC, doesn't that mean I'm a better offensive player anyways?
Wow. Whoa. Where is that going for?
I mean, USC is terrible on defense. If they thought you were good at defensive player, they're probably wrong. So he should be an offensive player.
You're just having none of Lincoln Riley. I mean, Jerry will have none of him on the defensive side of the football. All right, they want to say
neither will five-star D lineman out of Georgia. All right, keep going.
Want to say thank you to our sponsor each and every Friday morning, Coffee and Football. Brought to you by our friends at BKCW Insurance. Did your business have a frustrating employee or insurance benefits renewal? Most likely you didn't hear from your agent all year, and then right before it was time to renew, your agent delivered the bad news of a rate increase with no time to look for other options. When this happens, the agent is providing no value, and you're stuck in what we call the insurance trap. BKCW has risk consultants that specialize in many different industries. They get you out of the insurance trap, from construction companies, transportation companies, nonprofits, school districts, etc. You'll get matched up with someone at BKCW who knows your risk and can help you escape the insurance trap. Get started with a free risk assessment at bkcw.com or send an email to info@bkcw.com to get started and get you and your business the support you deserve.
I got a little news, got a text from Cody Armstrong's father. Definitely not coming in for a visit this weekend.
Okay. I'll say thanks.
All right. So that's not happening. So Texas pretty much has three tight ends for two spots. Nick Townsend coming in this weekend. Amari Winston committed. Caleb Edwards, who was in June 7th through 9th, who's at the Oregon big visit weekend and a huge visit weekend and whatever you want to call it, Uncle Phil's visit weekend. It's a big one over there in Eugene. So we'll see what happens with Caleb Edwards. I think Nick Townsend is one of the bigger recruitments going for Texas right now because I think Rod Baber's reaction when we turned on his huddle tape was pretty funny on live stream Wednesday night, I guess it was. But just to see that big dude running away from people, then knocking helmets off. But that's a huge recruitment for Texas because there aren't many elite athletes at the tight end position that are also physical football players like Nick Townsend is. And with Gunnar Helm being gone after this year, chances of Mari Nyblak probably heads to the draft after this year. That Nick Townsend recruitment became much bigger with Cody Armstrong committing to Texas A&M, in my opinion.
PFF came out with their preview for the Longhorns late last night, and I want to get y'all's take on this. So they listed the biggest strength and the biggest weakness for the Horns, and I'm curious to see what y'all think the biggest weakness and biggest strength is, along with the chat as well. But for the biggest strength, they say Quinn Ewers supporting cast. Biggest weakness, pass defense. Agree, disagree with those? And like I said, let's get the chat weighing in on this too.
I actually love that that's what they said, and I agree with that. Look, you got four offensive line starters back, and you have Cam Williams, who started a game at right tackle. You have Gunnar Helm, a lot of experience at tight end. You have Nye Black coming over from Bama, which this should be his best year of college football. You have Isaiah Bond. You have Golden. You have Bolden. We talked about this. You have Jonte Cook. You have some of these young guys. Then you have Cedric Baxter in year two. Guys running back tend to make a pretty big jump in year two. I expect Baxter too as well. Then you have Blue in year three, his first real chance to be a consistent player at Texas. Then talent behind that at running back, Trey Weiser, the freshman. I actually like that they said, Bobby, that's the strength of Texas, because Quinn does. Now they got to get the timing right. They got to get the pre-snap right for all these new wide receivers, right? Cam Williams and DJ Campbell have to pass pro at a high level on the right side this year. But I do think that supporting cast is a strength. And I agree on the pass defense until proven otherwise. I think the edge pressure, if Texas can be a 39 or 40 sack team, I think that's going to change the perception there a little bit, because I think it's going to make the back end's job easier. But I think McCoob is a big addition at safety.
I think it's a slight to Quinn a little bit to say, Quinn, you're supporting cast when Quinn, you're third-year starter. He very well is personally one of the strengths of the team, in my opinion. Is he perfect? No. But he's certainly a strength of the team. I would say if I had to say the strength of the team at this point, it would be team depth. So I guess you could say that's supporting cast. I just think Texas is very strong across the board at just about every position. Not a lot of teams have that. You know, no singular position do you just sit there and go, oh, my God, they have nobody there. And so I can see supporting cast, but I actually think it's just team depth generally and athleticism along with speed, that kind of stuff. My weakness, I can go with pass defense at this point, although I think it's going to be improved. I think that the actual weakness right now is the first four games is what we've been talking about, is unproven commodities at receiver. I mean, at least within this offensive scheme. Like, you know, and so that's my probably biggest weakness more than pass defense. We know, I mean, look, McCoob is going to be good. Derek Williams is going to be good. Jahdae Barron is going to be good. Manny Muhammad is going to be good. I'm not as worried in that capacity as I am about these first three or four games, these receivers getting on the same page as Quinn Ewers in key spots. So I don't know. I'm not as down on the pass defense as some people. I'm just not.
Patrick Page brought this up, and I want to add this. I think Johnny Nansen is going to have a big impact. Patrick Page said, I think PK is going to surprise you guys with how well the defense plays this. He said, I'm going to go a little bit different direction. I think it's going to be Johnny Nansen's effect in the blitz schemes, maybe more aggressive fronts. And the thing with, if the edge pressure comes through and puts pressure on an offensive line, you can play more games up front on the interior.
Absolutely.
Something to watch for. If your edge pressure becomes a difference maker this year, you can play more games up front on the interior.
Yeah. If I had to worry about anything, it's stopping – if I had a bigger question right now for me than pass defense, it's stopping the run. I mean, look, Texas lost Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat. Those guys were tremendous defensive tackles. Okay? They are better than the guys that replaced them. They just are. And so if I was really worried about one singular thing on defense, it's run stopping. You're also putting Anthony Hill at a position that he really hasn't played for Texas yet right now. David Benda is going to be a first-year full-time starter. So stopping the run is probably my biggest worry. It's not pass defense. It's just not.
All right. We've got time for just another question or two. And I'm going to read the super chat here from Cody. Thank you, Cody. He says, Jerry, the best beef jerky in the world comes from this hole-in-the-wall shack in Orange Grove, Texas, outside of Corpus called Hirsch Chaps. Thank me later.
Cody, I will do that. You can tell me which prospect to go see down there.
Yes, I was going to say, when's the last time you've been down to Miller, South?
Cal Allen, I need somebody to come through with a guy, man. I mean, maybe Blake, Blake, you go down there to see the baseball prospects at Robstown and Cal Allen and everywhere. And
there you go.
Maybe Colt has a tournament down there and you can try that. But we will thank Cody later. And by the way, if he's the owner of it, that was a great marketing move.
You see, maybe they have online ordering, and then you could get it that way.
No, I could just go down to Port Aransas again. I mean, maybe that is possible, too. Yeah.
All right, guys, this will be the last question for today, and it's from Greg Jackson. And Greg says, when they have the opportunity, do you think Sark will pour it on other teams and run the score up?
He hasn't done that. I mean, he scored enough points, but he hasn't really done that. It doesn't seem like that's what he's really looking to do. I do think that this year, when Arch Manning gets in the game, I don't think they're just going to run the ball.
Yeah, agree.
And so they're not just going to be looking to get out of games. And so I could see, because of that, maybe the scores being lopsided, a couple of them. But Sark's not a guy that runs it up on other people. And I'm not saying he should or shouldn't be. He's not that guy.
Okay. Well, before we get out of here, I know it's a big recruiting weekend. Guys, tell folks why they should be a member of OnTexasFootball.com if they aren't already.
I started the weekend live thread yesterday. So CJ and I will be posting information in that. We already have stuff in there. CJ and I are, I brought CJ into the crazy world. So we were at the Bergstrom Airport last night at 12:30 to get photos of KJ Lacy when he arrived from Los Angeles. The recruiting weekend live thread's up. We have news from Dorian Brew's visit yesterday, whatnot. I had team basketball update yesterday as well. Some early thoughts on guys in summer workouts. That's on TexasFootball.com. Go be an OTFOG, $39.95 for the annual subscription there, $20 off if you sign up as an OTFOG.
Use that code, guys. Use that code.
Hey, by the way, this is a good question. Whatever happened to All Gaston? I think Joey McGuire and Uremark got All Gas last year. No
Oh, man. Also, if you haven't already, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button. We would definitely appreciate that. As we appreciate all your support, and ring the bell so you're notified anytime that we go live or post a video. And between that and being a member of OnTexasFootball.com, being an OTFOG, you should be covered. You'll have around-the-clock coverage. And like we said, it's a big weekend for the Longhorns, so you definitely want to be paying attention this weekend. Hope you all have a great weekend. We want to thank BKCW along with Manscaped and Factor for sponsoring today's show. Thank you for the great questions, the super chats. We'll be back on Monday morning. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you then.
Welcome. Okay.